It is impossible to live a godly life apart from your body. You are dependent upon your body for far more than just living, breathing, and moving around it. It is through the use of your body that you either glorify God or magnify self. This is why it's so vital that you learn how to yield to the Lord's control so that you can offer your body as a daily sacrifice to God. Well, welcome to the Point of Purity podcast. I'm your host, Steve Etner, author, national speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry. This is episode 170. In this week's episode, we continue our mini-series on glorifying God. This episode is simply entitled, Body Parts. Well, to help you understand the title of today's episode, let me begin by repeating what I said in the opener. You see, it is impossible to live a godly life apart from your body. In James chapter 2, verse 14 and then 17 through 19, James writes this, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless." Now, some may argue some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe there is one God, good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. James 2, verses 14 and 17 through 19. You see, we're dependent upon our body for more than just living, breathing, and moving around in. It is through the use of your body that you're either going to glorify God or magnify King Me. It's why it's so vital that we learn from the Scriptures how to yield to the Lord's control of our body so that we can in turn offer it daily as a sacrifice to God, which is our reasonable act of worship. All right, we know that our goal as a Christian is to glorify God daily in everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do. Consider this next point very carefully. You and I cannot glorify God in our daily life apart from the use of our body. Peter says that we are to live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God, 1 Peter 2, verse 12. So think about this. How can the unsaved see your good deeds apart from your body? The truth and the fact is, they can't. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus admonishes us to let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The things that you choose to do with your body are what others are going to see. So the question to ask is this, are the attitudes and the actions that you choose going to bring glory to God or attention to King Me? Let me repeat a point I made in last week's episode. Whom you choose to worship determines the thoughts you're going to think. The thoughts you choose to think determines the actions you will do. The actions you choose to do result in the consequences that will be received. Your body will respond to your worship. So when you choose to let the flesh rule in your life, here's what happens. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21 tells us this. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Now think about the list I just read to you. There's not a single thing in that list that glorifies God. Nada. Zip. Zero. There's not one item in that list that shows the saving power and the love of God to a lost world around you. When King Me is sitting on the throne of your heart, your life is always going to reflect that choice. Your choices will always, mark it down, watch this now, your choices will always be directed by your worship, who is on the throne of your heart. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life everlasting." You see, when you choose to please King Me, there are guaranteed consequences. When you choose to walk by the Spirit, there are guaranteed consequences. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, God was talking with Cain just before Cain killed his brother Abel. And here's what he said to Cain: "You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master," Genesis 4, 7. The direct opposite of the list I read to you in Galatians 5, 19 through 21 is this list in the verses following. Galatians 5, 22. In Galatians 5, 22 says this: "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Now think about that list. Every one of those things brings honor and glory to God. Furthermore, not one of those things on that list are ever of your own doing. It's not by King Me that those things are done. They are called the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, they belong to God and God alone. So when that list is in evidence in your life, it's not because you have found the correct formula and you've successfully manufactured the right kind of love, or you've successfully generated the correct amount of patience or kindness. When there is genuine love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control being manifest in your life on a daily basis, it is solely because you have chosen to yield, to fully yield to the Holy Spirit. And it's His fruit that's being seen through your daily living. It all begins with whom you choose to worship. Who is sitting on the throne of your heart? Well, as we have seen, we are not to allow sin to exercise kingly authority over us in our bodies. We're not to obey its evil longings for pleasure. Paul then goes on to admonish us this in Romans 6, verse 13. He says, "Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God," Romans 6, 13. Now, we know that you can't prevent King Me from persisting to try and maintain control of your body. But through Christ's divine power, you are able to keep sin from ruling in your body. And this is accomplished as you make a continuous, conscious, daily choice to offer yourself entirely to God. It all begins with whom you choose to worship, who is sitting on the throne of your heart. Well, I praise God that there is a day coming, and I believe it's soon and very soon, when we will no longer need to concern ourselves with our physical body and the struggles of the flesh. You see, as a born-again believer, Philippians 3 verses 20 and through 21 tells us this: our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body. But the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself, Philippians 3, 20 and 21. I can't speak for you, but I'll tell you what, I am anxiously looking forward to that day. The fact is, I struggle with my body right now. I struggle daily. I struggle moment by moment. Now, I'm not referring to my physical shape or condition. Although, to be truthful, that needs some help these days. Yeah, you see, I just can't stand how my body is always working against me. Sometimes the temptations that I experience and the deep cravings for sinful pleasures that it presents me with, sometimes it just seems overwhelming, overbearing, and overpowering. Now, I understand what Paul means when he says in Romans 8:23, "And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies that he's promised us," Romans 8:23. Now, I like how he says, "we believers also groan." That begs the question in my mind, what's this groaning that Paul is talking about? It's the new nature within us, crying, weeping, groaning for the redemption of, the deliverance from this sinful body, so that we can live the life that we were created for, a life that glorifies him 100% of the time. But until that happens, 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, bought with a price. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, it's telling us that through God's divine power, we are able to say no to the reign of sin in our body. It is by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, Romans 8:13. You see, watch this now. Before salvation, before accepting Christ as your Savior, when we were controlled by the old nature, sinful desires were at work within us. And the law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds, resulting in death, Romans 7:5. But now that you're born again, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, Romans 8:9. As Paul says, your body is meant for the Lord, and the Lord for your body, 1 Corinthians 6:13. Since my body already belongs to God, offering it to him as a daily sacrifice is what the scriptures call a reasonable and spiritual act of worship. Here's the exciting thing, my friend. As a Christian, as a born-again believer, sin no longer has power. It no longer has dominion over you. Now, I understand that at times it feels like it still does, but I suggest that's the enemy at work deceiving your mind. God makes it abundantly clear in his word that as a Christian, you are dead to sin. Its power over you is gone. Let me read to you Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, and then skip over to verses 11 through 14. Here's what Paul says. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So you also should consider yourself dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to the sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have life, new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Romans 6, verses 6 and 7 and 11 through 14. Now, I want you to notice that in verse 11, Paul uses a transitional phrase. He says, so you also should consider. Now, I draw that out because it's important you understand. He's saying, in essence, you must know and fully believe what I just said, or what I'm about to say will make no sense. Okay, so that begs the question, well, okay, what did he just say? He just said, our old sinful self was crucified with Christ. In other words, the old sinful nature is dead. It is gone. Therefore, the influence of sin no longer has dominion over you. Because of Christ's sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary and your faith in what he did in shedding his blood on that cross, you have been freed from the power of sin over your life. Because this is God's absolute truth, you need to consider yourself or count on the fact that you are dead to sin. Oh, my friend, take that truth to the bank of heaven. God said it, and that settles it. I want you to notice also that God says sin cannot reign in your body. I misquoted myself. God says sin can reign in your body, not in your new nature. All right, now let me repeat that so that we're not confused. God says in the scriptures that sin can reign in your body, but not in your new nature. Now, we've established that the old sinful nature is dead and gone, never to come back to life. It was crucified. Sin does not reign in your new nature because it cannot do so. You have within you a new holy nature, designed and fashioned and created by God so that he can set up permanent residence within you. That Christ lives in me, Paul says in Galatians 2:20. That new nature, we saw this in a previous episode, that new nature is incapable of sinning. It is created to be like God in all righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:24. Therefore, watch this now, the only place that sin can sit and fester is in your body, in your humanness. This is why God commands us not to let sin reign in our body. Don't allow it to have any type of kingly authority over you because you're dead to that. Now, we've also learned that because of the new nature, God has given us the ability to not sin, 1 John 2, verse 1. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can control your body. You can say no to the desires of the flesh. Paul said, I discipline my body and I keep it under control, 1 Corinthians 9:27. You see, this is why I emphasize so strongly, you don't have to sin. We sin because we choose to sin. We sin because we choose to give in to the desires of King Me. We're worshiping a false god. You choose to sin because sinning brings a form of self-satisfying temporary pleasure. Again, I repeat what I've been saying through this episode. It all begins with whom you choose to worship. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 tells us that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It, God's grace, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. It, God's grace, teaches us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Now watch this. Saying no to ungodliness and worldly passions, living a self-controlled, godly life is a daily, moment-by-moment choice that you have to make. I can't make it for you. You can't make it for me. But you can make it. Not just when you get up in the morning, but all throughout the day. Every day, every instance where you are faced with a temptation, you are also faced with a choice. Do I give in this time, or do I continue to submit to the lordship and leadership of God and God alone in my life? Do I dethrone King Me and allow God to sit on the throne and rule in my heart, in my life? Do I choose right here and right now to yield to the Holy Spirit and glorify God? Or am I going to focus on what King Me wants? Am I going to allow myself to think, I want, I need, I deserve, I desire, I have to have, I can't live without? Or am I going to choose to focus my thoughts on what is going to please, honor, glorify, and bring praise to my Heavenly Father? You see, you are constantly using your mind throughout each and every day to make choices. Whom you choose to worship determines what you choose to think about, What you choose to think about determines what you choose to do. What you choose to do determines the consequences that will result. That's why, watch this now, that's why it is so vital that you daily discipline your mind to say no to the flesh and yes to God. All right, we're going to pause here until next week's episode. We're going to continue next week's episode going through this mini-series on how to glorify God and the thought processes that are involved in it. In the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about today's study, or if you're interested in learning more about the Pure Man Ministry and what we do on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis to help men across the globe find freedom and victory over their sexual sin and addictions, then I challenge you to visit our website. There's a multitude of resources that are available to you. You can find the website at The Purity Coach. That's all one word, The Purity, P-U-R-I-T-Y, coach.com. And as I close, I draw your attention once again to one of the resources that I've been highlighting for you often through this mini-series. It's my book entitled Extreme Mind Makeover: How to Transform Your Sinful Thoughts and Habits into Patterns of Life That Are Pleasing to God. Extreme Mind Makeover takes you on a journey throughout the Scriptures. And in that journey, we examine what God has to say about our thinking, how our thoughts, our words, and our actions influence and impact our heart, which influences and impacts everything that we do for God or for King Me. Much of what you've heard in this week's episode was taken directly from chapter 7 of the book Extreme Mind Makeover. So if that has piqued your curiosity, if you're interested in learning more, go to our website, thepuritycoach.com, and check out our resources page. Or just simply go to amazon.com and purchase your copy of Extreme Mind Makeover today. Or if you want to see the other books that we've written, just go to amazon.com and do a search for my name, Steve Etner, and you will see all the books that I have written and made available to you. Well, if you've not yet subscribed to this podcast, let me encourage you to do so today. I don't want you to miss any of our upcoming episodes. Well, until next time, this is author, speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry, Steve Etner, reminding you, if you're going to glorify God in your everyday living, He must first be glorified in your every moment thinking.